Hey everybody, welcome into another episode of the Comics Experience Make Comics podcast. A little bit of a different format this week. Andy is recovering from San Diego Comic-Con. Depending on when you're listening to this, he has just gotten back from San Diego Comic-Con and is catching up on stuff. And we thought that the way things kind of dovetail nicely for his schedule being a little bit off allowed us to talk to Paul Aller, who is a Comics Experience alum and a working comics writer that currently has a Kickstarter going, so it all kind of swirled into a nice mix of, hey, let's get Paul on the show, and Paul said yes. So Thanks for that, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. With writing credits including currently Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, your past credits also include G.I. Joe. You've got creator-owned comic that came out through IDW and Comics Experience called Tet, which is great. People can pick that up as a trade in print, as well as you can get it digitally. You've also got the Orc Girl short, which we could talk about how that fits into everything. And I know I'm blanking on things, Paul. What else would folks know you from?
Strange Nation,
of course.
Yes.
Came out
and
through
Clockwork, but I'm sure we'll be talking about that as we talk about short.
Excellent. The genesis of Andy and I thinking like this would be a good time to bring you on was your Kickstarter is going right now for Past the Last Mountain. And before we get into short story writing, which is a big part of Past the Last Mountain, and I know a big part of your early comics development.
Right.
And if you want to fill people in on what Past the Last Mountain is and where they can find out more about Past the Last Mountain in terms of its current Kickstarter, as well as read the free issue.
Sure. Past the Last Mountain is a four-issue fantasy miniseries that was written by me with art and colors by Louis Joyce over layouts by Gannon Beck. The Kickstarter is running right now, and it's at www.pastthelastmountain.com. Start off as a four-issue fantasy miniseries about a troll, a fawn, and a dragon who are on the run from the United States government. So it's very much a story that's like grounded in a world that's like ours, but they have these mythological creatures living amongst them. But like I guess, you know, a lot of books that do that sort of thing, like the world is very altered. You know, you have like magicians' guilds and that stuff, and that stuff is all cool. But our story, I think, really is very grounded in a world that's pretty much exactly like ours. You know, so I think it's an interesting flavor, an interesting combination, and we're calling it a geopolitical fantasy, which I think kind of tells you what you need to know. So anyway, yeah, like Joey said, the Kickstarter is going on right now. It only runs until this Sunday, August 8th or 9th, whatever that is. Look at the calendar. Thank you. it's been going really well. It's a lot of fun. But the reason it dovetails into the short story thing is that Past the Last Mountain actually takes place in the same universe as a book called Orc Girl, a one-shot that I did several years ago with artist Thomas Bowright. So we're putting Orc Girl into the Past the Last Mountain trade. And then we also had this two-page story that I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but we had this two-page story that an artist named Chris Evenhouse, who I'm working with on a couple other things, did a couple years ago as part of our promotional stuff for Past the Last Mountain. And I was like, I want to put this story in, but that might be weird just to have one little two-page story from another artist in the back of the book. So, you know, I'll write a couple more stories and you know, find some artists to do them, and we'll have like a couple stories in the back. That'll be cool. And I ended up just having a lot of fun writing those stories, and I kept on, you know, fleshing out this world and having new ideas. And so basically the book ended up being like a full-blown anthology in addition to the miniseries and the one-shot. So like it's going to be over 90 pages, I believe, of shorts. And then the miniseries is 88 pages, so that's a little weird. But so the backups have kind of consumed the book. But it's fun.
And the book originally came through Comics Experience's digital publishing. So
yeah.
your initial release was digital, and the addition of all the short stories. I mean, that I'll backtrack just a little bit to the Kickstarter
Yeah,
before talking
absolutely.
more about short stories. You were nice enough to share the Kickstarter up front with me before you launched, and I think I sent you an email that basically said this much comics for this much money. I thought you and so much of what we talk about a lot on the show isn't necessarily around the dollars and cents, but I feel like you and the artists have gone so far above and beyond of, it's a nice, you said full blown, and it feels like such a complete package. And I don't know how much of that, you said it kind of, the more you started writing, the more fun you were having, you got that. And I know you sometimes don't like this term, the world building creation of this full blown thing. It feels like one of those, you're walking in a store pre-internet, you find this awesome anthology slash, collection of comics, and it to me, I love that you kind of went that route, that you built off of previous stories, that you brought in other stuff into the world and have this is it, you're gonna get this giant book of stuff. And I think that, so much of the spirit, we were talking a little bit before we start recording, so much of comics can sometimes be that. This is the thing that it is now, and Kickstarter being a platform that you're able to go to with, hey, I just kept writing stuff and it seemed like it made sense, and we're, here's the big trade, come and get it, along with everything else that you're offering, seemed like such a cool idea and such a cool way to do it.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah, I'm incredibly proud of it. It's coming together really well. And I mean, it's just a lot of incredibly cool stories with some really amazing artists in it. And I mean, we have Rebecca Isaacs doing a story that takes place like on a space lab. We have Jeffrey Verger doing a story that takes place amongst his Native American tribe in the Pacific Northwest. So he's really excited about that, and he's done mostly covers up till now. So I'm really excited to show people his interiors. I've seen a couple pages of it already, and it's just absolutely beautiful.
Nice.
So yeah. I mean, it's a pretty incredible lineup of artists. So again, I would encourage you to go to www.pastthelastmountain.com to see the full list. And yeah, it's so yeah. I like the word you use, package. That I do hope that even though the stories vary a lot in tone and art style, I really do want this whole thing to feel cohesive, like you are sinking into one big cohesive world in this book. And I think I think it's kind of unique. I mean, not actually unique because what is, but I think it has the feel of like a collected omnibus, even though like, half the content is new,
Right. That's a good way to describe it, collected omnibus, when you think about terms. Well, the idea behind short stories, so much of getting started in comics that I know that Andy talks about and that I've experienced, but a lot of other professionals talk about, and especially anthologies, you are learning the craft by doing a short story, and it becomes that format that over time, at least I feel like you appreciate so much more of what the constraints are, but also kind of how freeing that can be to tell a story in a short amount of time. And not to say that I don't love sprawling multi-issue epics or even, 22 pages, but short stories. If you could, I'm curious about your approach in how you work with, you've got such a diverse collection of artists in terms of backgrounds and personality types and just where they come at comics from. Is there a way that you work with each artist, or how much have you done story-wise before getting in touch with people, or is it just kind of variable based on who they are?
It varies so much. I mean, some of them I wrote the story and then I thought, who would be good for this? Most of them I either had already approached the artist or I had an artist in mind before I wrote it, and then I was like, hey, I wrote this for you, I hope you'll do it. But yeah. So it really does vary very. So, and also like this is a real mix of like people I've worked with before, like Paul Tucker, who I did Tet with, Juan Romero, and A Strange Nation with, those are a couple creator-owned minis I've done in the past, and then there are a lot of people on it who I've never really met before. I talked to them before I approached them about this book, so it really does run the gamut in that regard as well.
of things. With your, you know, having done it, and I know that you released Clockwork as a self-published title, which was a collection of different stories with different artists that were, some were slice of life, some were, you know, set in a different genre setting, like a science fiction story. You covered so much ground. Is there a way that you approach a short story that is kind of a built-up muscle at this point, or is it all kind of a, you know what, just hit it, write a couple of drafts because it's the only way you're going to get to where you're going? Is there a short story approach that you do?
I do, to a pretty great extent, still have to grind it out. I mean, I hear writers talk about how, like, you know, well, when I was writing this, the kind of the news took over and blah, blah, blah. That just never happens to me. Like, never. I always have to grind it out. But yeah, I mean, I think with short stories, it's all about structure and character. You know, I think those are the, and again, that's just a microcosm for writing in general. But I think with short stories, if you don't have great characters who have a clear motivation in a short story, it's going to be really obvious. And if your story is not structured well, you're not going to be able to tell it in a taut, compelling way in a very small amount of space. So, yeah, Clockwork was 5 pages, and these are 2, 4, and 6 pages. So that was a lot of fun as well. And also, I definitely found myself writing a lot of stories that I had originally intended to do as 4 pagers, and then I was like, maybe 6 pages. but then on some of those, I just like kind of catch myself, like, dude, you're doing that a lot, so pull it back, you know, just work harder. You know, try harder to make this story be as good in a smaller amount of space. So, yeah. And I think you have to bear in mind that, like, you can't try to do too much, but you also shouldn't have it be too flimsy. Like, every short story should still feel like a world, you know? It should feel like an island, and it's a cool island, and it's fun to explore, and there's enough, it's small, but there's enough there to, you know, to spend a couple hours or a day checking out this cool little island. But actually, the island is the top of a mountain. And you should get that sense of presence and weight, behind the story. You should get the sense of an entire world behind the story, even in just a couple pages. And again, I think that compelling characters, obviously an interesting plot, and a tight structure is the way you do that.
Yeah, and flimsy and full story really does seem to be that line that you have to figure out how to write it. And
yeah, and that's why I think, like, if you look at comics anthologies, a lot of supposed comic short stories aren't actually stories. I mean, they're very clearly like the first 5 pages of a pitch, you know?
Sure, sure.
Or like introducing a character, and then, you know, you like have a cliffhanger, and you're like, yo, this is an anthology. That's cool. You just ended your short on a cliffhanger. So, and the other thing is that, like, so many shorts, and this isn't a criticism, but just something to think about. So many short comics have the same structure of, like, beat, twist at the end. You know, like, it's basically the structure of like a joke. You know, and that's fine. It's a perfectly good structure. But, like, not every short that you do has to have, like, a twist at the end, you know what I mean? Because that becomes boring and predictable in its own way. So, anyway, this has been Paul's Grumpy Corner.
Paul's Grumpy Corner. Da-da-da-da. That's the theme music to Paul's Grumpy Corner. I think what you're saying, though, and I know that I certainly think a lot of that same kind of structure, beat, and then twist, because I feel like that's partially, maybe more entirely, expectation of, well, I got to get a payoff, and the structure of comics is, shouldn't every page end with a page turn? Shouldn't every page end with a cliffhanger? Is that not the way I should be thinking about comics? So, of course, I've got to end that last page with the big reveal, the what's going to happen next if I get to do a full-blown 6-issue mini of my idea.
Yeah.
You know, if that's just the nature of it. But that is an interesting food for thought. I think you've talked about that in a couple places. I know with your intro, we didn't mention PaulAller.com as a place that you can learn more about Paul Aller, but you were writing a column on comic craft, essentially, with different discussion points. I don't know if I'm behind on short stories or not, if that's something you talked about, that kind of structure, at least in that column.
No, not yet.
Well, if you haven't already written it, I'd be interested in variations on the theme of a beat, twist, because that's what shorts feel like a lot of times to me anyway.
And I should say, I mean, your story has, I mean, most stories are going to have some sort of a payoff at the end. I just mean that you don't always have to do like the Twilight Zone type twist where it's like, you know, it changes everything you thought or, you know.
Sure.
You know, yeah, like, I mean, the M. Night Shyamalan thing, to use a more contemporary reference. But, I mean, you can, I don't know. Like, you can, I like to end my stories on an emotional turn where you reveal something about the character, or the way the character sees everything you just saw is different than maybe the way you thought, or you know, some action or some small statement by the character that makes you sort of like, not like everything you knew was wrong, but just makes you rethink and reconsider like that. And again, I don't end every story that way either, but that's one thing I like to do. And you know, I think that the big part of that is my influence of growing up reading a lot of like literary fiction and not many comics. That's more of a like a, that's more of an ending that you would find in like a New Yorker story, you know, than a superhero comic book. So
I mean, influences are influences, especially you come into comics a little bit later. That's an interesting perspective to have, because I do feel like what you get, that steady diet of anthologies that I seem to have in the 80s and 90s, was stuff did need to have some kind of turn at some point to get you to the other side of wow.
Yeah, exactly.
And to make it, quote, feel more complete. You know, in a way that you kind of come at that from that perspective. I do think from my end, so much of what I feel like I had to learn was entirely grinding it out, to feel like I needed to understand, you know, bigger picture, better scope. And that's I think that's why so much of, you know, comics experiences has been a good starting point for me, is that five page story of whether you're writing it or whether you're drawing it. I still remember the first time I had to see my stuff written, or my stuff thumbnailed out, to go, oh, this is very bad. What I have done is very bad. I have been to this or to that. You know, I just felt like I went too long, and I didn't do so many of the tenets of basic comics, but it was getting to that point of like, I gotta get it to the point where it's on paper to understand what I'm doing in a way that I can go back and fix. If you are interested in Past the Last Mountain and seeing the short stories in action, that's pastthelastmountain.com is the Kickstarter. Link to the Kickstarter along with the issue number one, which you can read at your leisure as a PDF or online.
You didn't say www every time because you're a professional.
I did not.
You know that's unnecessary.
I'm going to get all the angry tweets saying, wait, is it www or is it not www?
Right.
If you want to follow Paul, you can follow Paul on Twitter at Paul Aller. That's Allor. And again, pastthelastmountain.com. We have veered from the format, so if this is your first episode of the Make Comics podcast, the usual format is someone submits a question to info@comicsexperience.com. Make sure I say that right. Or tweets at Andy at Comic Experience without the S on Twitter. And we will talk about that here on the show. Paul, thank you so much for your time in doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a lot of fun.
It is always nice to talk to you, especially about making comics. And I'm glad we were able to share this with the folks at home while you still have your Kickstarter going on. Or depending on when you're listening to this, it's been over for a year, and you saw how it did. At this point of the recording, though, you're like 90-95% there with 12 days remaining. So I think
Or maybe you stumbled upon this when Googling information about the Past the Last Mountain movie.
Yeah.
Because it is, of course, the ultimate dream of every comic book writer is to have your stuff made into a movie and be validated by the world at large.
It was really strange that you decided to go the route of making it half animated, half live action, a la a la Roger Rabbit, but I guess when Steven Spielberg makes a movie,
really great.
Steven Spielberg
wow.
produces and Robert Zemeckis wants to direct, that's what happens. That's what you get.
That is what happens.
That is what happens. All right, well, until next time, keep making Past the Last Mountain comics.